There were times in each day when Ben believed a happier life waited only for them to claim it. He was a dreamer by trade, and it didn't seem far-fetched to hope their troubles would depart as quickly as they had surfaced. Such optimism was purest in the clear mornings when he took Hudson on the day's first walk. Spring had come late, but suddenly. The last of the snow had melted only weeks ago. Now the grass was nearly to Ben's waist. He monitored Hudson's progress through the fields by reading the furrow carved by the Beagle's Passage. The dew had evaporated, but its chill lingered, and the breeze carried its own bite. The wind was strong and invigorating on this part of the drop, the plateau that sat in the lap of two mountains, hulking cousins of the Adirondack Range. The updraft from the valley sent the acreage undulating as if it were a single breathing thing. He put his hand to his eyes to shield them against a gust and did his best to keep track of the dog. Hudson had picked up the scent of something and filled the air with his ecstatic baying. No one was happier about the Tierney's new life in the mountains than the Beagle. His previous circumstances having amounted to little more than a Manhattan apartment, Hudson hardly knew what to do with 1,000 acres of field, forest, and lake. If he missed his dog walk runs and leashed jaunts down the avenues, he hit it well. Ben smiled and dropped his hand to his pocket, searching for his phone before remembering that he'd left it back at the Crofts, their home on the drop. He hardly carried it around anymore, but like a phantom limb, he sometimes imagined its presence. He watched the dog dart from the field and across the gravel drive that connected the Crofts with the county road nearly a mile away. The husk of a shattered outbuilding was just 100 yards off the drive, on the near side of another copse of trees, and the Beagle made straight for it. Ben cupped his hands around his mouth and called Hudson's name. Ruined structures of uncertain purpose were scattered across the drop, but Ben had picked his way through this particular one not long after he and Caroline had closed on the property. The place was a mess. The roof had caved in, and the rotting floor was on the brink of collapse under the weight of rusting farming equipment and other scrap. Anyone can see it was a death trap. He called Hudson again, but he was too far away. Ben could feel his shout whipped back to him by the steady wind from the valley. Clearing these outbuildings was something Ben had wanted taken care of before they moved in, but that was a battle he'd lost. Caroline thought that they contributed to the ambiance. She imagined the guests at their inn roaming the grounds, delighting in the discovery of some ancient building from a forgotten time. She said this would give their guests a sense of ownership over their stays at the Crofts, so that the Tierney's Inn would become a place they'd return to year after year. Their son, Charlie, was forbidden from venturing anywhere near the ruined buildings, but even an 8-year-old was easier to control than a beagle that had just plucked a tantalizing smell from the air. Ben broke into a run when he cleared the tall grass. He'd lost sight of Hudson, but a mournful howl told him the dog was close by. The wind backed off as Ben ran across the gravel drive, and he didn't need to be a dog to pick out the scent that had captured Hudson's attention. It was a musky smell with metallic notes, the tang of an animal, a tease of death that hadn't yet turned sweet.